Welcome, everybody, to Practical Living. We have great tips for you that you don't want to miss. Have your paper and pen ready so that you can write down whatever it is that you don't want to forget. We have practical matters, practical health, and much more. But before we go any further, let's ponder our practical thought.
Hi, I'm Dumisani Mfune, and I'll be with you for the next 30 or so minutes. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I really, really love reading about. It's physics. But don't worry, I'm not going to bore you or scare you with long mathematical equations. It's going to be really interesting. You're going to love it. I want to talk to you about the speed of light. Okay? Now listen to this verse. Believe it or not, a Bible verse. Physics? You might be wondering. Listen. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Job 38, verse 19. So Job was asking some deep questions as well. Okay? Some really, really deep, interesting questions. So he thought about physics as well. He was wondering, where is light and where is darkness? These are some deep philosophical questions. But that's not what we want to do today. I just want to tell you about the speed of light, because light has got some very, very interesting characteristics that we want to quickly look at. And we can actually get some cool, cool applications from that. Now, before I get into that, I want you to listen to Mandla in Practical Matters. Welcome back to Practical Matters. I'm Dumisani Mfune, and with me is
Mandla Lupondwana.
Last time we were looking at this 50-50 rule where the husband and wife, and you guys who are thinking of getting married, how you can come to agreement. And then Mandla mentioned that the Bible has some advice, and we kind of ended at that. So without taking up any more time, let's get right into it, Mandla.
I was saying last time that the Bible talks about wives. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. And that sort of settles it for us, the question of who's head of the household and so on. But then what we need to then discuss is how you become head of the household. Because many times the reason why women will want to insist on the 50-50 story, the equal partnership, is because of abuse. Okay. As men, we must be very honest. As men, we've abused this whole concept of being heads, this whole concept of women submitting to us. We have abused it. We have ended up being arbitrary. We've said no to things that are not even substantial. You know, we will just make decisions that don't quite make sense. We are just flexing our muscle as husbands. And sometimes we've beaten up women because we have a sense that they're not submitting to us. And all of that is an abuse. All of that is pure abuse. And women, to try and avoid that, do not want this concept of you being head, especially when they can also think. So, but what does it mean when the Bible, for example, says, I am head of the wife as Christ is head of the church? Once you look at that model, everything changes. Mm-hmm. How is Christ head of the church? Well, talk to any Christian. The Bible has a lot of things that we must be doing, lists a lot of things that we should do. But what happens when we don't do them? What does Christ do when we don't do them? Are we struck by lightning? No. Does he come down on us with a ton of bricks? No, he doesn't. Does the ground open up and we are swallowed? No, it's not. What does he do instead? Instead of doing all of these things, you find him persuading us Christians. You find the Bible talking about the Holy Spirit trying to convict us of sin. In other words, he works to try and show us that we are wrong. And if it takes us 10 years to see that we are wrong, he's patient. It takes him 10 years to convince us.
Wow.
This means that once the Bible says, I am head of my wife the same way Christ is head of the church, it means that I don't get to force my will on her. I take the same route Christ takes. I try to persuade. I try to negotiate. I try to show her the wisdom of my ways. I try to get her to trust me so that sometimes when she does not see the wisdom of my ways, she can say, I trust his motives. I trust where his heart is. So I may not see what he's talking about, but it's okay, I'll yield to him. We do that all the time with people that we trust. So that is the submission, that's the headship that the Bible is talking about. So I do not want a man out there to think, yes, tell them, they should submit. You should understand. As a man, once you go the Bible route, even though you are head, the way you are head is different completely. You do not demand that things happen. You don't force your will. You negotiate. She ends up yielding to you because she feels you either make sense or she trusts you. That's how Christ does it.
So then what I'm gathering here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems just as with Christ and the church, what makes this work is the issue of trust and respect.
That is very true. Now, that usually flows start from the it starts flowing from the point of view of the husband. In other words, before Christ comes and expects me to submit to him, when you read the Bible, you discover he loves me first. He goes, he dies for me. He does all these things for me. And then he then tries and comes and convinces me to accept him as Lord in my life. And I see sense in it. When people get converted, they are accepting. They're not being forced. They're accepting to say, I will do what Christ wants me to do. And that is the approach of headship that the Bible gives us. So even though I may be head of my wife, how I am head may actually, a woman, my wife may find it more comfortable than if I were a 50-50 a partner. Because as a 50-50 partner, you may win last time, this time it's my turn. Next time it may be your turn, the other time it may be my turn. But when I'm head the way Christ is head, the interest is not, the issue is not my turn or your turn. The issue is me as head convincing you. And if you're not convinced, I don't force matters. Things don't move on because you're not convinced. That's what Christ does with the church. So you find that the way I approach headship then means one who initiates.
Okay.
One who initiates, someone who makes sure that stuff happens. Even when I sin against God, the Bible portrays Christ as the one who goes after me. Even when he starts going after me, he's already willing to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
He goes after me. All he needs is for me to accept his forgiveness and then we move on. So you find that even when my wife were to sin against me, were to really, really mess me up, the biblical model of me being head of my wife will say that when she is wrong, I go to her. I persuade her to see the error of her ways. And when she does see the error of the ways, I am very, very willing to forgive. In fact, before I even approach her, I already am willing to forgive her. That is the model. So that is a model that if we were to follow, our wives would find very safe.
Okay.
But because we don't do that, they find safety in 50-50.
Now, a few programs ago, we had mentioned in the African context, why a lot of us feel that we have lordship over our wives is because they come into our
space,
home, into our space. How then could one balance the cultural view of the husband being the head with what you've just taught us now based on the Bible?
The funny thing is this. The Xhosa culture, for example, which I think may be applicable in different African cultures, the wife is not your wife. It is the wife of the family. And they will always have a sense that wives are not there for abuse. Wives are there to be taken care of, to continue the family line. So wives are treated very well, theoretically. Mm-hmm. Wives are very valuable. This is why even when you go and look for a wife, your traditional African man will not leave that to the whims of a young man. They always have a sense that you are too young to be able to find us a wife.
Yeah, the whole village is involved.
The family elders will go look, search for a suitable family, find a suitable young lady. Why? Because they believe that finding a wife is too important a job to leave to a young man and his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That's how valuable a wife is. Now, we have come over time to try to blend a Western concept of a husband and a wife and our traditional concept, and in the process we've become very abusive. So yes, the traditional African view will say, I'm head of the household. The Bible will agree with that completely. But the Bible will say, but how do you become head of the household? Now, how do you function as head of the household?
Okay.
The Christian concept, the Bible will then say, as head of the household, do so with love, do so with respect, take care of your wife's feelings. Why? Because you love her. Do it the same way Christ does it to the church. So the Bible and our traditional African concept agree that husband is head of the household. They agree on that. But the Bible goes a step further of saying, this is how you do it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Manjla. So, guys, as you're preparing to get married, as you are talking with your potential spouse, remember, it's the man is the head. The Bible says so. A lot of our African traditions say so. How that is exercised is what makes all the difference. Until next time, I'm Dumisani Mfune.
And I'm Mandla Lupondwana.
Thank you.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
Okay, so remember Job asked that really, really deep question, and that's in the Bible, Job 38, verse 19. He was wondering, where does light come from and what is darkness? Okay, now, it may be hard for you to imagine, but light moves through space. When you turn on your torch at night to see something down the road, it takes time for light to travel from your torch to get to the object that you see down the road. So you point and you can make out a dog way down the road. Light had to travel from where it is, from your torch, to the dog. Okay? And it had to travel back to you so you could see it. Isn't that cool? That's what light does. Light goes so fast, you might think that as soon as you turn it on, it's already there. But it actually has to travel there. And even way, way, way down the road, but it's just like almost instant. Okay? But it travels there. Okay? Now, it actually does take time. Now, the reason why you can't see it is because light travels very, 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 very fast. I'm talking of extremely fast. Now, do you know how fast light moves? It moves so fast that as far as we're concerned, nothing moves faster than light. I'll tell you how fast it moves after you consider this. Right now it's time for Consider This.
Welcome back to Consider This. Today we're talking about healthy lifestyle. I think Dr. Webster gave us some good insight into healthy living. Nice. And I was kind of impressed with him starting jogging at 60. Sometimes, I mean, I'm not that old yet, but then sometimes I think, nah, maybe I'm too old to start jogging now or start a new sport.
That's true.
But it shows you you're never too old to start something new.
That's true. And he looks so fit
and
so
he's still
healthy.
Running.
Yeah. So you're never too old to run or too old to do exercise.
Never too old to do.
Definitely. Right. Now, I mean, let's get down to this. We as young people like to live unhealthy. Yeah. I mean, we like the junk food. We like to stay up late, watch our whatever we watch. But we need to stay healthy. We need to live healthy. As Christians, we have a temple, which is our body, and we need to look after that temple.
Right.
All right? And I kind of like that point where he stresses that we don't get salvation through healthy living, but yet it is a crucial part to our Christian walk.
Yeah.
How would you say can we live healthy today? I mean, we've touched on these subjects, but how can we make it practical? Like, say, I don't like exercise. I don't like running. What else can I do as a young person? What would you guys say?
Remember the 21 day thing? Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. If you do something for 21 days, and you don't like it, it's soon to become a habit.
Okay.
My mother taught me that. My mother's always right. So she should be right that you keep 21 days.
Yeah.
If you just wake up every morning and take a walk. I mean, you don't necessarily it doesn't have to be like vigorous exercise, you know, kind of thing.
Just so even just walking can be just exercise, half an hour walk.
Yeah, because you get air, you get sunshine, you get quite a number of things from that, and you stretch your body out.
Yes.
That's awesome. So. And you can go walking places, that's nice.
Yeah.
Mm. Like go to the mountain, like you said, go next to a river, maybe you're a nature person.
Yeah, okay.
Go do that. Or join a gym.
Yes, I joined a gym, and I was so shocked. I thought there's just going to be weights and a few treadmills. I got there. There's studios with different classes, dance classes, and aerobic classes. I don't, but I know there's a lot of people that do. And they have instructors that help you. Yes. So you can, if you join a gym, I think there's so many products and so many machines and different things that makes it enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can enjoy it. You can.
Yeah.
You know?
There's also other little things. Like instead of taking the elevator, take the stairs.
Yeah.
That works.
So you should just think of creative ideas of what you can do.
Yeah, but it's not like a major change. Mm. Like, okay, today I'm going to exercise kind of thing. Mm. It starts by a few steps and then you progress and move into that. You know, you guys, I've got to tell you, there's this program that I joined. It's called New Start. I'm sure you know about it.
I've heard of it, but tell us a bit more.
Okay, so it's a...
It's an acronym.
It's an acronym.
Yeah,
I was looking for the word. The word is New Start, right?
Yeah.
But it stands for N for nutrition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. E for exercise. W for water.
Okay.
S for sunlight.
Yes.
T, new start. T
Team
for For temperance.
Yes.
Yeah. Temperance means like controlling yourself, right?
Yeah, that's important.
Moderation.
Okay. Which he mentioned.
Yes.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
What's after T?
A.
A.
A for air. Yeah. And then R for rest.
Okay. I like that one.
I like that, which he touched on again.
Yes, yes.
Right? And then T
again.
The last T, which is the most important
yeah.
one, which is trust in
trust
God.
Trust in God.
Mm. We don't think of trust in God as
no,
health.
No, we don't.
So
we
this
don't.
New Start program is basically all the healthy principles that we
put
should
together,
do.
Yeah.
We should have enough air.
Yes.
We should rest. We should eat healthy.
Right.
We should do exercise. We
right.
should have temperance.
Right.
Because that's an important part which we kind of forget, temperance.
Mm. We do.
Say, for instance, we want to start with exercise. Now we're going to think, oh, I'm going to do 5 hours of exercise.
Yeah,
that's not good for your body.
Right.
Or I'm going to eat healthy or drink water. Now I'm going to drink 5 liters of water.
Right.
So you should have temperance in all that you do.
In fact, you need to have all of them together.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
I can eat healthy. I can do exercise. I can, but if I don't get air,
yes.
fresh air, or I don't get rest,
okay.
then I'm killing one.
Yeah.
It doesn't balance out. And you need to trust in God. So
yes,
it's like
exactly.
it's like you need to put everything, all of the New Start principles together.
Together.
Yeah.
And they
okay.
work perfectly.
Yes.
And I'm testifying they work.
Nice.
After after you follow this principle for a few weeks, you feel so much better.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do. Just
okay.
physically.
So there's a lot of principles to healthy living.
Right.
We can not only eat healthy, or we should eat healthy, but that's not the only thing.
It's
we should go broader than that.
Right.
We should get enough air, do exercise.
Yeah. Even little things like sunlight.
Yes, sunlight.
Yeah.
And that's
don't
the thing that we kind of neglect.
Right.
You know, go walking on the beach.
Right.
And I think we as young people, we're kind of creative. I know there's a lot of sports that young people enjoy, and you don't even think you're doing exercise, like rock climbing.
Yeah.
And some of my friends do rock climbing. I mean, they're out in nature.
Yeah.
They get enough air,
right?
They get exercise,
sunlight.
I mean, the
nice.
Sunlight, all those things are in one.
Right.
So you don't have to kind of think, am I getting all of this in?
Right.
Sometimes when you're in nature, you're going to get all of those
right.
in, and the benefits are there.
Right.
And now I want to kind of shift a bit. Do you guys think that if you're living healthy, your emotional life is going to change? Are you going to have an emotional or a healthy emotional
it
life?
It does.
Yeah.
I can tell you from my sweets. You see, when you eat a sweet, you get a sugar high, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your body bursts and you get excited and you
yes.
get a sugar high. But that also causes, it's easier for you to get angry or
yeah,
mood.
Irritable.
Your sugar level goes down
sugar
quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it goes down, but it goes below down.
Yeah.
So it needs you to recap again. So now you start going on these sugar highs and lows, and then you become moody, but you don't realize.
And you get hooked on it.
Then you get hooked on
yeah.
it. And you just realize that, craving for sweet all of a sudden, you know. And then it messes with your emotions. And then you start becoming an emotional person.
Yeah.
And soon you're crying. Okay, no, you're not crying.
And you just said a sweet.
Yeah, but kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think one of the problems, Quentin, that a lot of us have is that we get obsessed with health.
Okay.
Some of us think that exercise is an obsession. So your friend, someone with the
lift.
I mean, he's not even eating healthy. I mean, he's not getting air. But it's like become like an obsession. You
an
know,
idol.
Kind of thing, an idol.
Okay.
And
so
he goes overboard and it's like
temperance. I think that's
crazy.
Where temperance comes in.
Yeah.
That we need to remember that we should have temperance
right.
in all that we do, even
right.
in our healthy living.
Right.
And even to know that healthy living is not the end all of all.
No.
I mean, healthy living is so important to us, but like you said, we don't get our salvation
True.
From that. Anybody
yeah.
can get salvation, and
yeah.
through Christ alone we get our salvation.
It's very important to remember
and
that.
What else is could be quite nice is, yeah, we shouldn't judge, and sometimes we want to live healthy, and it's a bit selfish.
Mm.
So maybe we should start encouraging other people, make teams, like start, like maybe get a jogging team, get partners,
yeah.
and I can testify as well, God has led, like one of my friends, I went jogging with her, and because it's a time we can chat, we started talking about God.
Yeah.
And it's such an awesome thing because God wants us to be healthy, so we have something in common,
yeah.
and then we start talking about that. And and then afterwards, I start telling her about Daniel and about Revelation, she's like, what? I've never read that. And then she goes and reads in her Bible.
So it's a can be a chance to witness.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that if you have a buddy system, it kind of works, especially for going to the gym. I can be lazy sometimes. So, you know, that morning when you wake up and you don't feel like going to the gym and you're just like, my arm's still sore of yesterday's gym. But then when you have somebody's there waiting for you at the gym, then you're like,
I have to go.
And then when you're there, your arm doesn't feel that bad. You can still gym, you know?
Or maybe go sleep in your gym clothes.
Or even that. Yeah, but I would not recommend that.
You,
but
you
I mean, if it works for you,
definitely.
So I think we've seen that we should definitely live healthy as Christians. Thank you guys for joining us on the show. Consider this. We have seen that healthy living is definitely important for all of us, especially as young people.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue you would like to be addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using AWR at sidmedia.org. That's AWR at sidmedia.org.
All right. Thank you, Andriette. Now, remember, I told you that after Consider This, I was going to give you the speed of light just to show you how fast it moves. Are you ready for this? You're not going to believe it. But remember, I said that nothing that we know travels faster than light. Now, light travels at roughly 300 million meters per second. Did you get that? 300 million meters per second. In other words, in 1 second, you and light, you stand together, okay? And you say, light, I want you to move. And you say, light, I want you to run your fastest, okay? And then we measure the distance. Well, after 1 second, 1 second, light will be 300 million meters away from you in just 1 second. That is fast. Now, I don't know about you, but that is pretty fast. Matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have a series on you guys, for you guys, about creation. You're going to love it. I want to get to the bottom of this debate about creation versus the Big Bang. Have you guys heard that debate? A lot of people who believe that things just happen from nowhere. It's anyway, we'll discuss that. That's for another time. But if you want to hear the conclusion of this, you'll have to tune in tomorrow so you can know why I was telling you about light. Now, I need to go. I can't believe I have to go already. But I have a song for you, okay? This song says Rejoice. Now, I don't know about you, but hearing about how fast light travels and then knowing that I know the person who created light just makes me want to rejoice. Just the mere fact that I know the person who made light, I want to rejoice. This song says, rejoice in the Lord. Okay? There is so much we have to be thankful for. So rejoice in the Lord. I hope you enjoy it. And until tomorrow, be blessed.
you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue you would like to be addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org. Remember, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.